Time is 7:46. Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, and lucky we don't do this with cameras because you would have seen me dancing around my office here this morning.
Well, very, very nice. I'm sorry we don't do this with cameras then. All right, Rolene. So it's been a big week with regard to a focus, I think, on anti-Semitism. Is that sort of the main gist of what Israel has been talking about and focusing on this week?
Well, first of all, I want to say again that we here in Israel and myself and my family are full of sorrow, and our hearts are absolutely broken for what happened in Pittsburgh last week at the Eitz Chaim Synagogue, the Tree of Life Synagogue, 11 precious souls with an average age of 73, Howard. Gunned down simply because they were Jewish. And, you know, in Israel, sometimes we take it for granted that we live in a Jewish country where, you know, our Jewish tenets are respected, where apart from dealing with the conflict, we don't have to worry very much about anti-Semitism and how it affects us personally. But every single one of us has been affected this week. Every one of us has felt that we stand shoulder to shoulder with Pittsburgh and with our Jewish brothers and sisters around the world. You know, we've spoken, you and I, and it's often come up in conversation, the growing chasm between Israel and diaspora communities. And it saddens me tremendously that it takes an event like this to bring us closer together. And I know Israelis very much want to feel united and want to participate in everything that is being done around the world, including showing up for Shabbat, so that, you know, in our way, you know, we are there with you all. We are there with Pittsburgh. Having said that, we have dispatched our trauma teams and our education minister, Naftali Bennett, as well as ambassadors to Pittsburgh to be with the community, especially now in their time of need.
Absolutely. And what, you know, I know that Israel's doing, you know, they've sent counselors. Obviously, Israel's schooled, sadly, and well-trained at dealing with this type of trauma. You know, what do they anticipate? How long they're going to be there for? What is the interaction like?
Well, I think, you know, after the funerals, I think when the initial shock wears off and the profound grief sets in is when, and also when the world's focus is away from Pittsburgh, I think that's when a lot of the pain and a lot of the grieving will really kick in, and our trauma counselors will really be needed. And we have no indication of how long they are going to be there for, but what this has done is it's put the issue of anti-Semitism front and center. Now, we've had discussions, you know, offline. It's very much in our media here. It's very much around the world. And it's brought to the fore for me the fact that, you know, we can no longer say, not my community, not my problem. I think it's not just America, but I think it's countries all around the world need to start having these very, very, very serious discussions about anti-Semitism. You know, no more lip service. And also an appeal to people of other faiths. It cannot just be left to be a Jewish issue to deal with.
And I think that's we're certainly seeing that in the United States, where we've got we've had a number of Muslim groups raising funds for the victims of the terror, and of course this weekend, the Shabbat is the show up for Shabbat weekend, where people, not only Jews but also non-Jews, neighbors, friends, are being invited to attend a Shabbat service in order to fight terror and to show that hate cannot win.
Absolutely. And you know, it really, when you have these incredible moments of darkness, sometimes you witness the best of humanity. And it's been really incredible to see how the Muslim community in Pittsburgh have shown up for the Jewish brothers and sisters, saying as well that, you know, if you need us to stand guard, if you need, you know, whatever you need us to do, we will be there for you. Where I have been very, very disappointed, Howard, is the mainstream media and the usual, you know, celebrity activists. You know, I've been monitoring late night comedians. You know, where have they been? You know, often we've seen people around the world immediately take to social media. We are Orlando, and rightly so, absolutely rightly so. Or we are Paris, and again, absolutely rightly so. Or we are Las Vegas, absolutely. But where's the We Are Pittsburgh? Many have, but many who are often the most vocal have not. And I was watching various late night comedians, you know, often a place where hosts will opine about the events of the past week. And the Jerusalem Post also covered the story. Apart from Seth Meyers, we've heard very, very little condemnation or little addressing of the issues. And also what really struck me this week is that immediately people went into the politics of blame and discussions about gun control. And it made me think, like, can we just take a breath for a minute? There are 11 families whose lives have been changed irrevocably, and there are 11 very, very precious souls who were gunned down because they are Jewish. You know, what are we missing here? Or maybe it's me, Howard. Maybe I'm missing something here.
I'd like to hear from our listeners, 34519 or 0618951019. Are you? What are you feeling? And what are you seeing around around this? Are you seeing the coverage? Are you seeing the support? I must tell you an article that I wrote. First of all, I think. It needs to be said that South African media did cover it immediately, some better, some worse. The Star newspaper hardly, but no surprise there. But mainstream media here in South Africa really did cover it. I wrote an article for my column on Wednesday on News 24. They featured it quite prominently, all about this issue. So I do think that the South African media did their best to talk about this issue, and in fact, I don't know if you were listening to Tanya Khoury earlier, Rolene. She was talking. I asked her to look into the hashtag Show Up for Shabbat on Twitter and just see how well it performs around the world. And what she found was the second to the United States, South Africa is the largest contributor to that conversation. Now that is interesting, and that is very fascinating if one looks at the numbers of people here in South Africa that are engaging on this. So definitely South African Jews and South Africans much more involved in this conversation than almost any other Jewish community outside.
Makes
of,
me of, so proud.
Yeah, I was quite shocked at that, I have to say. It is it's really quite quite incredible to see that.
And kol hakavod to President Ramaphosa and Musi Mamane both coming out very, very strongly in condemning this act. And, you know, I know it sounds strange to say, but it actually, it warms my heart, you know, South Africa showing exactly why South Africa is the rainbow nation, you know, why South Africa came out of its darkest past, you know, to really fight for equality. And I know that there are many issues in South Africa, you know, we discuss it all the time, but South Africa really showing exactly what South Africans are made of, and I could not be more proud.
So the other, in fact, Olga Meshwe sent me a message to say that the ACDP also came out with a statement. I didn't actually see the statement, but apparently they also did. So when you're seeing these, the main parties across South Africa standing up against anti-Semitism and recognizing the pain of the murder of people just because of their religion, it certainly does bring some light in a place of absolute darkness. So it is a very positive thing. Just because we don't want to be too heavy all the time. Oh, Ben and Jerry's, can we please talk about this?
Oh, let's talk about this, Howard. It's very apt for the, you know, the topic that we are discussing, and it seems they are flavoring their ice creams with a little sprinkling of anti-Semitism themselves, Howard.
Why? But Ben and Jerry are Jewish. Or certainly the original founders of Ben and Jerry were Jewish.
Ben and Jerry's are Jewish, but they created a huge controversy this week by launching a new flavor titled Pecan Resist. And it's a limited edition. You certainly will not be getting it in Israel because Ben and Jerry's Israel has completely distanced themselves from this flavor and what it stands for. But, I mean, it sounds delicious. It's chocolate with fudge and pecans and walnuts and almonds. And they say that profits from this will go towards four groups, including the Women's March. Now, the Women's March is particularly controversial for us because two of the leaders, one is Linda Sarsour. We are very well acquainted with Linda Sarsour's politics. I mean, she came out on Sunday saying, you know, let's march in solidarity. And she got a sound thumping by many of us saying, please don't be a hypocrite. Also Tamika Mallory. Now, Tamika Mallory is a very, very outspoken supporter of arch anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan, calling him GOAT, the greatest of all time. But Ben and Jerry's Israel have made it very, very clear that they're, first of all, an independent and Israeli company. All of the products sold in Israel are made in a factory in Be'er Tuvia, and milk and cream come only from Israeli producers, and they have no intentions to be connected to the local or world politics. Amazing, as huh? the founding company. And of course, many people weighing in, Howard, and giving, you know, their own flavors.
Well, Zanati was asking yesterday, how can fudge and chocolate and pecans be a sign of resistance? No, but that's really...
I mean, the only time I can think of resistance, Zanati, is when I'm trying to resist it.
Well, that's what the other thing I was saying to Zanati yesterday. Who wants to have a chocolate when you open your freezer and it screams, resist, fatty? You know, like, seriously? Seriously,
it's fat shaming.
It is fat shaming. It's fat shaming. And when your ice cream, your tub of ice cream, is begging you to resist it, what kind of marketing strategy is that?
Not smart at all. Perhaps, you know, they need some help from us.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need to get involved there. But but hugely controversial and quite an interesting move. I think since Nike, we've started to see a lot of American companies taking a view on the style of political commentary with regard to marketing.
I don't know. Do we really want politics with our sports shoes and with our ice cream?
Well, maybe the sports shoes, but ice cream. We eat ice cream to get away from the politics.
Exactly. Surely. Exactly.
Yeah. Very, very. I think it's a very, very odd indeed. Indeed. And science says Pittsburgh has been hijacked and is being used as a club against Donald Trump by the likes of CNN. It's good news for the Daily Wire, the Blaze, and these guys, as these guys try and be honest. And Neil says, Howard, most authentic faiths value life, based on what Abraham the forefather and all of to said to all of the nations of the world. Certainly, that's a great note, Neil, to leave this on. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. And are you going to show up for Shabbat?
I'm absolutely going to show up for Shabbat. And I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. And please, God, a peaceful one for all of us of all faiths.
Amen. Absolutely right. Time is 8 o'clock. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.